Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
On that word. Hallelujah. Takes both of us working together here. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I'm going to open up with prayer, and then since this is healing school, we're going to make some confessions right at the very beginning today before we get started in the teaching. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Hallelujah. That your word is life. It's healing. It's medicine to all our flesh. That your word never returns unto you void. It's not void of your ability nor void of your power. And it goes out, it accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here this morning. We thank you for teaching each one in this place tonight, today, bringing revelation knowledge and understanding in their hearts, greater progressive understanding and knowledge. And we thank you for doing what only you can do as the great revealer of all truth. And Father, I ask for great utterance in the Holy Ghost today. Think through my thoughts, speak through my lips your words, and I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it in advance. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Starting out this morning with our confession here, making it together and the importance of that, I'm running off of something that Brother Hagin said when he was here. And he made this statement. He said, the supernatural swings on two hinges. And he said, you'll never get away from this as long as you live here on the earth. What are the two hinges, Pastor Debbie? The two hinges are what you believe with your heart and what you say with your mouth on a continual basis. Not just Sunday mornings, not just Wednesday mornings and Wednesday nights, but all the time. What are you believing with your heart? And what are you saying with your mouth? And because we live in a world that's fallen, and the spirit of the world is always pulling and contending for the opposite of what the Bible says. And so we have to continue to look into the perfect law of liberty and let it reflect back to us so we begin to see ourselves the way the Word says we are, who we are, what we have, what we can do in Christ. So what we say with our mouths continually makes a difference on our faith, makes a difference about our healing. And so I wanted to start the healing school today with, I'm going to read scriptures, and then we're going to make a confession together after I read these scriptures, just to get us started here today. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Leeser translation says, but only our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried. Through his bruises was healing granted to us. The Basic English translation says, but it was our pain he took, and our diseases were put on him. While to us he seemed as one diseased, on whom God's punishment had come. The Rotherham translation says, by his stripes there is healing for us. Hallelujah. Let's make this confession together. Surely Jesus hath borne my sicknesses and diseases and carried my pains. He bore them and carried them away to a distance. I don't have to bear what he bore for me. I refuse to bear what he bore for me. Satan cannot put on me What Jesus bore for me. By his stripes, I am healed and made whole. Amen. Let's move to the next scripture. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The Norley translation says, he took away our illnesses and lifted our diseases for us. The Amplified version says, he himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. The New English Bible says, excuse me, he took away our illnesses and carried away our diseases. Now let's make this confession together. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He carried away my sicknesses and diseases. He bore them away and removed them. Disease is not mine. Healing is mine. I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. Satan, you cannot put disease on me. I refuse to accept sickness. I will not tolerate sickness. Sickness and disease are totally unacceptable to me. Amen. Our next scripture, 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The 20th century translation says, his bruising was your healing. Our confession, let's make this together. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Healing belongs to me. I was healed 2,000 years ago by the stripes Jesus bore. I'm not trying to get healed. I've got healing because by his stripes, I was healed. Hallelujah. Amen. And then our last scripture today is 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy all the works of the devil. The Amplified translation says, the reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. The basic English translation says, and the Son of God was seen on earth so that he might put an end to the works of the evil one. Hallelujah. The one translation says that he might neutralize what the devil has done. Praise God. And the Phillips translation says, now the Son of God came to the earth with the express purpose of liquidating the devil's activities. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's make this last confession here together. Sickness is a work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness has been dissolved, broken up, annulled, undone, and liquidated as far as I am concerned. Jesus put sickness to an end for me. Hallelujah. You believe that this morning? It's something about hearing the word and then speaking it out of your mouth. It's something about you hearing yourself speak that word that causes faith to come even more and make it more real to you. It's something about that. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual laws and some of the spiritual laws in the Word of God when it comes to healing. And your voice is a very important part to your faith. Your voice is your address into the realm of the Spirit and your ticket out of Satan's dominion. Like I said earlier, but what Brother Hagin said, the supernatural swings on two hinges: what we believe with our hearts and what we say with our mouths. And sometimes when we're hearing these things, it takes a little bit to move it from information to revelation. And in the meantime, we continue to say and speak what the Word of God says. That's what you call schooling yourself in the faith until it drops down into your heart and your spirit and it becomes revelation to you. Real knowledge that's been revealed to you by the Spirit of God, or it's been quickened to you by the Spirit of God. When that drops down into our spirit and it moves from information to revelation, then it can become application where you act on that word and it comes to pass for you. Hallelujah. Remember, when it comes to healing, we're not looking for the manifestation. We're looking at the Word of God, believing the Word of God. All of your body and the manifestation will come. But we're not looking to our bodies to confirm something. We're not waiting for our feelings to confirm something. We're looking to the Word of God, which confirms everything when it comes to what we have right now, what we can do right now, and what we possess right now. The Word says we have it. Healing was provided for us the same time and the great plan of redemption that your sins were remitted. The same time healing was provided for your physical body. And it's just like when you receive Jesus as your Savior and you receive the remittance of your sins, the same time you receive Him as your healer and you know that your sicknesses and diseases were laid on Jesus. He bore them for you in your place. He took your place. He became your substitute. So our voice and what we say plays a vital part in our faith walk, what we believe. Pastor Mark Hankins made this statement. He says, faith has an attitude and an action. Believing is the attitude and speaking is the action. So we can never say enough when it comes to the Word of God. Continue to stay at it and speak it. Be persistent about it. Be consistent about it. Because the Word has the power within itself to fulfill itself. The Word is not just another book or words on a piece of paper. No, it's living. It's life-giving. It's life-sustaining. It's life-preserving. These words are alive. They're full of the life of God. They're full of the Spirit of God. So they're quickening and all-powerful, as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12. So it's not just another book or not just some words on a piece of paper. When you set yourself before the Word of God and you begin to partake of this Word, you need to understand that it's life-giving words that you are partaking of, that you're listening to, that you're speaking, that you're putting in you, that you're getting on the inside of you. You got your mouth gate, your eye gate, and your ear gate. They're gateways into your heart. And so we have to guard continually what we're hearing, what we're seeing, and what we're speaking. These are very vital to our faith. Hallelujah. God told Charles Capps, he made this statement. He says, my creative power was given to man in word form. I'm going to say that again. God told Charles Capps, he said, my creative power was given to man in word form. Well, if we look in Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 7, we could turn there together. Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 7, it says, then the Lord God, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of the spirit of life, and man became a living being," or a spirit. Well, the Amplified says living being. Hebrew scholars said you can interpret this word living being or a living soul. I think the King James says living soul. It can imply a speaking spirit. That God created you to be a speaking spirit. Just like God himself never did anything without speaking or saying it first. Sound came before sight. This is very important. Sound came before sight. God never did anything without saying it first, but when he did speak it, he believed in the words that he spoke, and he released his faith in what he said. He believed in what he said. He released his faith in his words. God never did anything without saying it first. So sound came before sight. Another saying concerning our speaking is confession paves the road to which faith carries its mighty cargo over. Spoken words program our spirits either to success or defeat. What you say can defeat you, and what you say can put you over. Your words can defeat you, or your words can put you over and provide success in your life. Remember, God's words and what you speak is like containers. They reproduce after their own kind. They produce after their own kind. Those words are like containers. They carry faith or fear. It's up to us is what they carry, depending on what we choose to say every single day with our lives. In Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 3, it says that the spoken word of God, the word of God is upheld by his power. I'm going to read a whole thing, first of all, out of the Amplified Bible. And it says in verse 3, "He is the sole expression," talking about Jesus, "is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying, or the radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power." Notice that. The spoken word of God is his power. That's why it says he's upholding, maintaining, guiding, and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power, what he spoke into existence. It's still today that word. The universe has been created by the words of God, is still today being held together by the word that God spoke way back when. It says, "When he, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high." So God's word is powerful. And it needs to be spoken. The spoken word of God is his power. It's only powerless when it's not spoken. And you and I being created in God's likeness and his image and being a speaking spirit have to train ourselves when we get born again how to speak what God's word says about us. And sometimes that takes a little while. And then when we find out what it does say about us, is putting our faith in that, our trust in that, and continuing to say that no matter what we're seeing, circumstances. We can't be moved by the circumstances. We can only be moved by what the Word of God says. And that comes from a continual of putting that Word in our hearts. Continuing to what? Look at it. read it, study it, meditate on it, our eye gate, our ear gate, listening to it. What are we choosing to listen to on a continual basis? Because like I said, the world that we live in is programmed to be very negative, and it will pull and draw on you continually to try to pull you the negative way. But because the Word of God says the opposite, we need to continue to hook our tongue up, make our tongue do its duty. Say the Word of God. Say what the Word says. Say what the Word says, and continue to say what that Word says. So faith, one key ingredient to your faith is what you say on a continual basis. I want us to look at an example today in the Scriptures, and we're going to draw from this example in the Scriptures and see some different things. Jesus understood the law of speaking, and one of the spiritual laws of speaking, he understood that he had to be trained by the Father himself. He said, I only say what I hear the Father say. He had to learn how to say and speak, just like you and I have to learn and retrain ourselves to say what the Word says. Speaking, your faith needs to hear you say what the Word of God says. It's good to hear somebody else say it, and that's wonderful. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, your faith needs to hear you speak the Word of God, but not only speak it, but believe what you are speaking. So when you're saying it, you're believing it. And like I said, sometimes until that persuasion comes, till that full convincing happens on the inside, you're schooling yourself in the faith by continuing to say it and say it and say it and say it and not get frustrated because you're not seeing or feeling something that you think you ought to be seeing and feeling. But you're continuing to do what the Bible says. Speak the word only. Jesus said that as one of the examples in the Bible when he was healing. He said, speak the word only. One of the people that he healed, he said, Lord, if you just speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. Just speak the word. So we're going to turn together in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to begin to look at an example in the Bible. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 25, and you've heard this before, but we're going to look at it and get some more things out of it today, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot hear it enough. You can't hear too much of it. You can't overdose on it. But every time you do hear it, you can get nuggets from it. Amen? It's you deciding what you get out of it. If you say to yourself, I've heard this before, then you just cut off your lifeline right there about receiving a more understanding and furtherance concerning the understanding of what the Bible wants you to see and get and understand. So in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, we're talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And here was a woman that was totally, well, let's read it first. And starting in verse 25, and there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years. So it wasn't something that was just 2 weeks or a month or a year. 12 years she had an issue with a flow of blood, abnormal flow of blood. Verse 26, and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians. So here's another thing she had to deal with. She had endured much suffering and under the hands of many doctors. Not just one doctor or two doctors. She went to several doctors to try to get herself cured. And it says that verse 26, who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but instead she grew worse. She'd gone to all these doctors. She spent all that she had, all her money, everything, depending on these doctors to get her cured, whole, and healthy again, and received nothing. Only got worse. Verse 27, she had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Verse 29, and immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd, and he said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you're asking who touched you? Verse 32, still Jesus kept looking around to see her who had done this. Verse 33, but the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust, your confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you. Whose faith was it? Her faith. Has restored you to health. Go in into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. So here we see some spiritual laws that this woman put into practice, and it brought about her healing in her physical body. First of all, we see here in verse 25 that it was 12 years, so it wasn't something just simple and small. No, she'd been dealing with this for 12 long years. Verse 26, and she had endured much suffering under the hands of many doctors. So she was poor, she was broke, she was weak from the disease. And it says, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but she grew worse. Verse 27, but she heard. Here comes a spiritual law right here. She heard. We know in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So here's one of the first spiritual laws that this woman puts into practice. She hears about Jesus. What does she hear about Jesus, Pastor Debbie? That in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was what? Oppressed of the devil. She heard reports about Jesus, that he was going about doing good. Jesus spoke the words himself in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus went about saying that. He says, I am anointed to heal and deliver you. So she heard. So one of the first things we have to do is hear what Jesus has already provided and done for us. Because the God kind of faith only comes from the Word of God. And so this is so vitally important that we do exactly what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 23. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Attend to my words. Let these words not depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health, healing, or medicine to all your flesh. We're the ones that have to continually, on an ongoing basis, what? Incline our ears attend to God's word. Get them in the midst of our heart. How do you know, Pastor Debbie, when it's dropped down into your heart? Well, it's like a little bell goes off. It's like a picture begins to form in here. When you begin to see it in here, then you know that word is moving from information to revelation, and it will paint a picture on the canvas of your heart first. Because if you can see it in here, you can have it out here. I said, if you can see it in here, you can have it out here. The Word of God will paint that picture on the canvas of your heart. If you don't see it in here yet, then continue to what? Use your tongue as the pen of a ready writer. That's how you write on the tablet of your own heart. Psalms 45:1. You write on the tablet of your heart with your tongue. That's the pen. Keep writing until you get it revealed in your spirit, in your heart. It begins to paint a picture. You become convinced, persuaded. You see yourself the way the Word says you are. You see yourself healed, whole, healthy, strong, living long. The Word will paint that picture. You don't have to try to think it up, make it up. The Word will do that as you continue to think on it, ponder it, roll it over in your thought life over and over again. I remember when I'm coming home from the shipyard and I had cards every day. I'd take a three by, not every day, Pastor Chris was every day. Mine was once a week. I'd take a card out of the Bible and I'd write a scripture on it, and all week long I'd pin it on my computer and I'd speak it to myself. I'd ponder it. I'd roll it over in my thought life. I'd meditate on it. I'd say it on the outside and thank it on the inside over and over and over again all week long. Then when I get on the bus, those cards begin to pile up, and I take those cards and go through them one by one and say, this is me. This is what I have. This is who I am. I see myself the way God sees me. I say about myself what God says about me. I have what God says about me. And I would say that over and over. To this day, I still say that. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do according to the Word of God. But that meditation, moving it from information where you first hear about it and it's just head knowledge, where you move it down into your heart, it becomes revelation knowledge. This is a process. This takes time. This does not happen overnight. If you're expecting a quick fix or a quick remedy, it doesn't work like that. It takes time, it takes consistency, and it takes persistence to stay at it. Stay at it. You will invest in what you believe is important to you. If you don't think it's important to you or valuable to you, then you won't take the time in it. You won't put time in it. But what's valuable and precious to you, you will spend time in, and you will spend time with, and you will begin to do that word and apply that word. It makes a difference. So here was this woman, but she heard. Just like you're hearing today, you have an opportunity to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. One of the spiritual laws. We must hear the Word in order to continue to grow and develop the God kind of faith that every single one of us received a measure of the moment we were born again. Romans 12:3. You received a measure of the God kind of faith. But it's up to you as to what you do with that measure that's been given you, whether you develop it, you continue to use it, exercise it, develop it, because you're what? Doing something with it. Not just hearing it. But it's the doers of the word that are what? Blessed in their deeds, the Bible says. James chapter 1, verse 22. So here, she heard the reports concerning Jesus. So that began to build faith in her heart. She kept thinking on what she had heard about Jesus. That he's a healer. He went about healing. So as she kept thinking and pondering about Jesus and who he was and what he was doing, it dropped down into her heart. Look at this in Verse 27, so she had heard the reports concerning Jesus. She came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. Oh my goodness. What did she do, Pastor Debbie? She began to act. Faith is an act. Faith without corresponding actions is what dead. James chapter 2, verse 17. Your faith needs to be acted upon. She kept thinking about what she heard about Jesus. She kept thinking about it. She kept thinking about it. She kept meditating on it. It dropped down in her heart. Now it's causing her to move out of a place where she'd been isolated. She'd been secluded from all the rest of society and people and crowds. And it's no telling how long we know it, 12 years. Away from people, society. When you had an issue of blood, it was just like she was treated as if somebody who had leprosy. They were separated from society. They were not allowed to get out in society. If she did, she'd have to holler, unclean, unclean. People would get away from her. So there were a lot of things going on when you've been dealing with that for 12 years. But she heard, and that moved into her heart, and it produced a faith, and her faith began, she began to act on what she heard. She moved out of her home, and she began to what? Find out where Jesus was, where he was, and began to get to where he was. Now remember, she's weak. Because when she gets to him, the Bible says she only touches the hem. So obviously she was so weak that she was a crawler. She crawled and pushed through the crowds to get to the hem of his garment. That's the lower part. That's not the upper part. She touched his shoulder or his hand. No, it said she touched the hem of his garment. She crawled through the crowd. She pressed through. Do y'all see what's going on here? Her faith caused an action. It moved her to press against every obstacle, the hard places, the places that the enemy wanted to keep her from getting what God said belonged to her, her healing. She pressed through. It became real in her so much that she took a chance to get out in society, out in the public. She could have been stoned to death and stopped and never gotten anything. But obviously it produced a faith in her heart. It moved her. Woo, I love it. Her actions. So she heard the reports concerning Jesus, verse 27. She came up behind him in the throng, and she touched the hem of his garment. That's the very lower part of his garment, which only a crawler down on their knees could touch. Verse 28, here's another spiritual law. She kept saying. So she heard, that was a spiritual law. She acted, that was a spiritual law. And she kept saying. She's using her mouth before she touched the hem of his garment. She kept saying. She kept saying, if I can only touch his garments, I shall be healed. If I can get to Jesus, touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. If I can get to Jesus, touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She was establishing her what and her when. Do you get this? Each one of us, each one of you can establish your what. What is it? Healing? Provision? Supply? What is it? And the when she was going to get it. She says, the moment I get to Jesus, touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. I shall be healed. She established it. Her faith, it got so in her when she heard about Jesus. It moved her out. She took a chance. It was a hopeless situation. We're looking at three spiritual laws here. She kept saying. She kept saying and she kept saying. We don't know how long she did that before she got to him. But obviously, it worked because she got to him. She kept saying, that kept her crawling a little bit more. She kept saying, it caused her to crawl a little bit more. She kept saying, it caused her to crawl a little bit more until she finally reached Jesus. And then when she said, oh my, that's it right there. That's my answer right there. She touched the hem of his garment. What she'd been saying the whole time. And the moment she touched it, look at this. It was so fired up in her. She was so charged with expectancy and faith. Look at this now. She was so charged with faith and expectancy. Verse 29, immediately, woo, glory to, immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source. Immediately. Suddenly, ooh, I like the immediatelys of God. I like the suddenlies of God. Here's two of them right here for you. Immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. Her faith and her expectancy. She kept saying this thing was lighting a fire on the inside of her where she just, buddy, when she touched, that faith ignited the power of God in him, and it caused an immediate flow of power right from Jesus into her. And she felt, not only did the flow of blood dry up, but she felt immediately there was new strength that came to her. She felt new strength. The blood flow stopped. There was new strength. She felt this. Her faith touched. Her faith connected with the power of God. Just like all of you sitting right in here today. When the word is going forth, the power of God is available right here in this room today. And all you have to do is touch it with your faith. Your faith is the plug into the power. There is so she had an expectation because of what she heard, what she thought about, what she meditated on, continually got in her. It caused her to move, to act, to do something. Faith has corresponding actions. And boy, when she touched. Woo! One translation says, Jesus said, somebody has made a demand on my ability. The 20th century translation says, Jesus said, somebody has made a demand on my ability. Woo, glory to God. The one that's unlimited. Hallelujah. So right here, verse 29, immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source. Suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. Verse 30. Now Jesus recognizing in himself, oh my goodness. So the woman recognizes a flow into her, a power, because she connected with the power. Come on now, Jesus said, who put a demand on my ability? Come on now, just like right here in this room today. Who puts a demand on my ability? I'm right here to see to that whatever you believe for, you can have right now. It's yours. Hallelujah. Jesus recognizing in himself, verse 30, that the power, what? The power, what? The power. Jesus recognized within himself that the power, woo, glory, proceeded from him and had gone forth and turned around immediately in the crowd. He said, uh-oh. He said, now, I know I've been in a crowd and everybody's there and I'm getting touched from every area here, from people all around. He said, but this was a different touch right here. This was a touch of faith. There was an expectation. There was a pull on my ability that God the Father had given me. Jesus, recognizing himself that the power proceeded from him, had gone forth, turned around and said, all right, who touched my clothes? And the disciples didn't get it because Jesus knew what he was talking about. He was like, there's been a different touch right here. And I sense the power, the virtue flowing out of me into somebody here today. And so he was getting her to what? Stand up and recognize what had just happened. Because it was very important that she publicly acknowledged this because she was known as one as being unclean and not supposed to be out in public and in society. So when Jesus gets her to publicly look at this now, Jesus recognizes himself and immediately he turns around the crowd. He said, "Who touched my clothes?" Because there was a different touch. It was a touch of faith. Disciples kept saying, "Lord, you see the crowd pressing around you from all sides and you're asking, who touched you?" They're like, "This is impossible. You'll never know." Jesus said, still he kept looking around. He kept looking around. What was he doing? He was waiting for her to step up and publicly acknowledge something. This was going to change her whole outlook before the crowd that knew her as something else. Come on now. I'm telling you, you might have been identified by the doctors or the hospital might have said, you're this and you'll have to live with this the rest of your life, but you're about to change your identity just like she did. She says, "I'm going to publicly acknowledge now something has happened in me." Jesus was getting her to publicly acknowledge it so that now the public would not view her as the same. Hallelujah. Not as the sick, but the healed. Hallelujah. And Jesus recognized him, so he said, "Who touched me?" Verse 33, but the woman, here we go. But the woman, what? Knowing, what? But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened. Why? Because she knew her life was on the line right then, because now she'd been publicly acknowledged. She knew they knew who she was. Frightened, trembling, she fell down before him, and she told, here we go, she told the whole truth. So now the whole group, crowds of people, don't ever think the word didn't begin to spread. Woo! You think bad news spreads? Well, good news also spreads. Hallelujah. So Jesus got her to publicly acknowledge it, where they would all recognize something has happened. She's not the same. She's not the sick no more. Who said? It's what you say. What are you saying? And Jesus, verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith." Your faith. Daughter, your faith. Sons, daughters, your faith. Your faith. Your faith. What are you hearing? What are you continuing to say? And then what are you doing? Is it causing you to move yet? Are you acting on your faith? If not, keep hearing it. Keep listening to it. Keep speaking it, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're seeing, no matter the reports that are coming in against you, might be negative and all opposite. Keep with the word. Stay with the word. Be a stickler for the word. Let the great physician become your chief physician. Hallelujah. So he said to her, "Daughter, your faith," verse 34, "your trust, your confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease." Free. Free, free, free. Her faith. Did this. Some spiritual laws here. She heard, she spoke, she acted. She did something with her faith. Faith can be voice activated. Faith can be motion activated. Jesus, when he created you, he made you where your actions are stronger than your feelings. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie? Jesus said you cannot think your way into better feelings, but you can act your way into better feelings. You might be thinking, "Well, I'll act better if I feel better." Jesus saying, no, if you act, you will feel. But action comes before the feeling. We're waiting to feel something first. No, God wants us to believe it, receive it, and then act on it. Actions follow what you're believing. Our actions need to line up with what we're believing. We talked about spiritual laws here. So vitally important to our faith. Can't hear it enough, can't do it enough, can't apply it enough. And this is our lifestyle. This is not just in the time of crisis or when opposition hits. No. Jesus said we're to walk and live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. He said you're to live by faith. Live it. That means a lifestyle. A lifestyle. So if he told us to do something, then my heart is to please him. Then I want to get the best at it as I can get. How about you? Be the best at it, get the best, do the best of what he has given me. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. So the supernatural swings on two hinges, what we say with our mouth, what we believe with our hearts. And we just saw three spiritual laws that the woman with the issue of blood, who was a hopeless situation, she was poor, she was broke, she was weak. She was cut off from society because of her illness and infirmity. Isolated by herself. Can you imagine a life like that by yourself? It's horrible. But Jesus. She heard of Jesus. She pressed. She pressed through the crowd. Opposition. Obstacles. Hindrances. You know the enemy didn't want her to get that. Mm-mm. But she pressed through. What caused her to do that? Her faith in action. Her faith in action. Weak, but she decided, I can crawl. I may not can walk, but I can crawl. And she walked, but she felt immediately. Strength came to her. New strength, vitality came in her body. Immediately dried up, blood flow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nothing is too hard for God. All things are possible to him who believes. With the believers, God is the performer. With the believer, God is the performer. We're not the performer. We're the believer. When we believe, God does his part. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So this morning, as you have heard some word this morning, the power of God is right here to heal any situation. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. All things are possible to what? Them who believe. You might be in here today and you say, well, Pastor Debbie, I'd like to release my faith. Then we want to give you that opportunity. You've heard the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We'll give you that opportunity. If you want to have hands laid on you, then we just ask you to step in the aisles and come right up here and stand before this front row right here. If anybody wants to be prayed for.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.